Darren Adonik on this Wednesday afternoon at this time every week. Chris Mason joins us, brought to you by Smoky Mountaintops, the exclusive partner of your Nashville Predators. We say hello to C-Mace. C-Mace, what's up? Or is it Vanilla Ice?
Ooh,
Ice Baby.
Mace Baby. I don't
know.
Mace Baby. I was just cutting the lawn, actually, and you guys, my music shut off, and I didn't know what was going on, and I looked at the phone, and 102.5 the game, baby.
Did you, no shirt and a gold chain? Is that what you were doing out there, working in the yard?
No, I was full dad style, shorts, runners, and a top, that's it.
Rolling with some fresh tats?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I brought that up to Hal last night in postgame, and he said, I thought he looked more like George Michael on crack. And I was like, oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Oh, good stuff.
Skillsy. Good stuff. Skillsy, yeah. Unfiltered. We need that real.
Well, I was driving home last night, and I heard that, and then I started laughing. And then I heard when you guys came back from break or from sound, and all I could hear was Skillsy laughing.
Yeah, yeah, that's – yeah, I told Willie what happened, and I'll tell you. And, yeah, once again, yeah. Skillsy, okay, at his best. And I told him, you're lucky I recovered. You may have had to finish things out on your own if I didn't recover.
I love that he's like, yeah, how about Pekka? He played pretty good. And then you guys – I was dying.
I had my cough button down so you could not hear me crying.
Oh, that was so funny. I was crying laughing because I didn't know exactly what, but I was dying just because I knew he probably said something skillsy.
That was our version of soccer kick right there.
Oh, man.
I was imitating Terry Crisp. I just disappeared for a minute. I needed to recover. By the way, can we sign up for more games like last night? Not just the outcome. I get it, the 3-0 shutout, but that was really, really fast game too.
It was fast. It was a great hockey game. You know, the Leafs were coming in. They've been kind of having a disappointing stretch, so you knew they were going to come in, bring their best. I thought they were really good, really fast. They actually played really good defensively. That's been one of their, you know, Achilles heels the last little while. But I thought they came in. Anderson played great. Preds were awesome defensively. You know, the Maple Leafs, with the caliber of players that they have, they're going to get some chances and they're going to have some zone time. But I thought the Preds did just a marvelous job defensively, just really getting in those lanes, breaking up plays. Even when plays got through, they weren't able to get much on a lot of their shots because guys had sticks tied up and good positioning. Pekka, you know, when they did get through, he made some, you know, 10 bell saves just out of this world. That one was save of the year as far as I'm concerned. John Tavares made a great shot, and Pekka comes flying across and throws the blocker out, and then he saves the next two. So it was from a standpoint of, you know, getting your game in order, and I think that's been the biggest issue, I think, with the Predators lately, finding that consistency, that confidence, everybody on the same page, playoff-style hockey. I really liked the game the Preds put on the ice last night.
Yeah, I was talking about the game ending at 9:20. I was, like, floored. I couldn't remember a game even coming close to ending that early. It was like fat. There weren't very many calls after like the first period and second period. Willie and I were talking about this off air. The second period flew by. I mean, it was bing bang over. 9:20. Thanks for the shutout. See ya. See ya Thursday. I was like, holy cow. So that was nice. By the way, speaking of holy cow, how about the images of it was the Nashville Arena. We talked about this in pregame. The Nashville Arena the first year, and then it became the Gaylord Entertainment Center, the GEC, the second year. But how about the pictures that you guys put up last night, the images of around the arena back then in the late 90s? Isn't it crazy to see that?
It is crazy. That's 2 decades right there, you know, in the books, and just shows you the growth of the city. And even the ones when they showed inside the building, it was almost unrecognizable just the way that it looked inside the building compared to now. It's just, it's crazy. It is, it's awesome. And when you see that and pictures of Crispy and Pete and, you know, from where this organization began and to where it's come, it was pretty, pretty cool to go to the old 90s thing last night.
Willie had hair. You had hair. I mean, things were different. My hair was darker.
Mace, I had not seen, you showed me the picture of you playing junior hockey, but your original picture, I guess it was your first training camp with the Predators. That was awesome. The video.
I was laughing. I didn't know that was going to be on until they showed it. And I was just like, oh my God. It's so funny, though. I think I might have even had like frosted tips or streaks or something there.
It looked a little different color. Yeah, it was color.
Because I have like my hair, my beard's a little bit red, but I have dark brown hair.
Okay.
So I think I might have, yeah, I was a cool guy. I went and got streaks or something in the summer and came to camp with a cool guy.
Outstanding.
I told Hal on the radio broadcast, because they showed my picture playing, and this was early 90s, mm-hmm. before it started to go, so I had the full flow. And I had a little Roman Yossi thing going.
Yeah,
there.
I don't really like you. You keep comparing yourself to Roman Yossi. I think that's a little bit of a stretch.
You're his hair double. You're his hair double.
No?
Yeah, really? Well, you like the stunt double. Like, it's not quite the Roman Yossi, but you're the one who, if they're doing like a stunt, you go in there because you could pass from like a distance as the Roman Yossi hair guy.
Yeah, I think all of us would like to compare ourselves, come on, to Roman Yossi. That's a little bit of a stretch
I'm
there.
I'm just saying hair, not athleticism.
In fairness to Willie, though, it was a good quaff, and we didn't have the same styling, stuff they do now. You go into supercuts or do it yourself or whatever back then. So, you know, I don't know. Like we say in sport, it's hard to compare eras. So maybe Willie's was the '90s version of the 2019.
I was ahead of my time.
You're saying he wasn't using the Flowbee back then. The new guys seem to be fitting in quite nicely.
The new guys, yes. And, you know, it's Brian Boyle, you know, he's obviously had a little bit longer to get acclimated. He's come in and just everything and more than you thought he would be. And it's hard when you get guys from the East, too, because you just don't see them frequently enough. You know they're good players. You know Brian Boyle's a physical guy, penalty, all this kind of stuff. But you just don't see it that much. Same with Wayne Simmonds. No, he's a competitor, tough, good in front of the net, good skill level, all these types of things. But when you get to see it every night, especially getting kind of bringing a really different element that the Predators haven't had in the last few years to that level, and just seeing the difference that they make in these games, and now that things are starting to come around, you can just foreshadow how valuable players like Brian Boyle and Wayne Simmonds are going to be come playoff time.
Mace, do you see any adjustments that they've made? Because these last two games, they've played elite offensive teams among the top five goal-scoring teams per game in the league, and they've done a very good job defending them. They have had to make some big saves, but they've controlled the amount of chances they've given up. Have they changed or adjusted the way they're playing at all?
Well, the biggest thing that I think is, when you can't play well defensively unless everybody is committed to playing well defensively. You know, you can't have two guys on the ice at a time or three or even four, and you need every single person to buy in. And I really feel like they've, as a group, has said, okay, if we want to win the playoffs, we've got to lock it down. You know, there's no team that will win the Stanley Cup that doesn't defend well. And I think, now's the time that everybody's, kind of really committed to defense first. And it's funny when you do that, they've had more chances in the last three games than I can remember for a long stretch of games before that. Last night was a different story. I thought it was a tight hockey game. Both didn't get a ton. But I still think they're creating more offense because of how well they're defending. And I just think that you look at their roster, you look at the leadership in the room, it's just a conscious decision to say, from the team, just to say, all right, now, enough's enough. Let's get back to our identity. Let's start defending. And then it's just funny how other things fall into place when you do that. So it's been really nice the last couple of games to watch how well they've done defensively.
Darren and I were looking at the calendar. The Penguins are the last team that the Predators will play this season. In other words, they've played all the other 30 teams, or I guess 29 teams, and they've got two meetings with the Penguins. And both of the meetings last year were at the very beginning of the season. In fact, the second game of the season was against the Penguins, and then early November, right after the Kyle Turris trade, was the game in Nashville. So it's been a long time since we've seen Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh's lost the last two games in overtime, but for the most part, they've been playing very, very well, as you would expect at this time of year.
Yeah, and that's a team that's, maybe they're not the upper echelon, the Tampa Bays, the Bostons now, but they're a team that has so many guys that been there, done that. They know how to win. They know how to turn it off. That year they won the Stanley Cup. You know, they got the terrible start, actually both years, and they just, when they decide to turn it on, they know how to win, and they're back to that brand of hockey. Obviously, the last couple of games, couple losses, no OT, but they're still playing well. So, again, it's part of the gauntlet that the Predators are going through, and you know, going into this, you're a little bit worried just because of how the Preds were playing, but, you know, now you look at it, and this could be the best thing the Preds could have asked for, it is to have this level of competition going down, you know, the final however many games. So it's always a good one. Now you got a little history there with the Stanley Cup final, so it's going to be a good way to finish off and to go into this week.
And it would seem to be the same formula. Elite offensive team, averaging about 3.4 goals a game, but they do give up their share of goals. They give up their share of chances. They can outgun you a lot of times. It sounds pretty similar to San Jose, and it sounds pretty similar to Toronto.
Yeah, and that's what I like about this is, you know, when you have that team in front of you, you know, as a team before you go out that night, you're like, guys, we, you know, San Jose, Toronto, we have to lock it down. Otherwise, bad things could happen because they have so much firepower. And Pittsburgh's the same thing. Stay out of the box, discipline, good neutral zone. If you don't, you know, if it's a 50-50 battle, that you're calculating the risk-reward, making sure that you have numbers back. If you see a defenseman up in the play while the forwards are covering back and otherwise, you know, they don't need many opportunities to score and to bury you. So I just really think that, you know, having these teams right now is really a good thing for the Preds, because you can just see when they decide to elevate their level, when they have to do it. And, you know, the response of the team the last two games has just been, it couldn't have been any better, to be honest with you. So I expect more of the same tomorrow.
Interesting parallel now as we count down to the game with the Jets on Saturday as well. You got a big one for the Predators against the Penguins, as we've talked about. Winnipeg is on a Western swing. They have Anaheim tonight and then at Vegas tomorrow night. So when the Predators come up to Winnipeg, they'll come home off of a pretty rigorous road trip out west. So a couple of big games for the Jets the next couple of nights.
Yeah, you know, they're doing their thing. It seems like they're coming around too. To me, that's the game for the Central Division. If the Predators want any chance of winning the Central, they have to win that game in Winnipeg. You know, obviously Pittsburgh first, try to take care of that. But if you want a chance, any chance to win the Central, you've got to win that Winnipeg game. So I expect it to be another war. It was actually both teams when they played the last time around. I thought they're both struggling, but I thought both teams really came and competed, and it was, you know, kind of more of what you're used to seeing from the Preds and Jets. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on Winnipeg, obviously, as at this time of year, you got to watch every night and who everyone's playing and how the outcomes and everything. But that's the Central Division right there. If the Preds are gonna, win it, they have to win that game.
Remember we talked last week and said it's time to change the narrative, so I can stop asking you the same questions every week. Well, they've quietly strung together five out of their last seven, so things maybe are turning for the better, and they can finish strong like everybody's been kind of waiting for.
Yeah, and you know, even if you go into these games, and you know, maybe you know it's the probability of winning out the rest of the season is not, you know, not very likely, but. Even if you play the way that they're playing and you come up short, you lose a game to one of these teams, it's about how you're playing. You know, I tweeted out one the other game. It's not necessarily just about winning. It's about how you win. And I really liked how they've won the last two games. And even if they came up short in one of those games, I still like the way that they're playing. You're not going to go in the playoffs. You know, the series are most likely, especially in the West, they're going to go you know, a fair length. You're not going to sweep every team you play, but it's how you play. And I think, you know, the Predators as a group, getting the new guys acclimated, I think they're starting to figure that out. You got some other line combinations that look really good. The defensive pairs are shaping up and playing well, and the goalies, you know, you need it all, and right now they're getting it.
Chris Mason every week brought to you by Smoky Mountaintops, the exclusive partner of the Nashville Predators. That's the right music to end with. Mace, baby. If you want to see him, he's doing some yard work. No shirt and some gold chains.
But yeah. Does he have the 90s wig on,
Does he still have the flow going? No.
Here, letting the baldness go today.
Chris, always a pleasure. Thanks as always. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right. See you guys. Take care. All right.